Let's turn to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, all you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them, all he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in thee. Amen. Psalm 33 is really, most people think it's just merely an extension of Psalm 32. So remember at the end of Psalm 32, David ends with this really great plea. He says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all who are upright in heart." And so it seems that David basically picks up that theme right away. And so he goes into the next psalm, and then he basically explains why we should worship the Lord. He explains why we should sing praises to him. And so he starts off, "Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright." Probably a better translation is, the praise of the upright is beautiful, or is becoming. It's probably a little better to understand. And so what David is trying to express, and what God is expressing, what I want to express, you know, today here, is that worship is our God-given gift. It is the privilege of the people of God. It's what the upright should be doing. And the way that God looks at it, he says, is beautiful. That it is one of those things that really touches him. You know, when I first became a Christian, I started going to this church. I was going to, you know, my church with my friends, you know, the first one that I was ever a part of. So I was still doing that. But on Sunday nights, I started attending this church. It was kind of a happening church at that time. It was called The Vineyard. And it was led by a man named John Wimber, and they were really in many ways pioneering this whole idea of worship music, but more music sung to God. And so a lot of the words and phraseology was actually just like melodies singing to God. And they used to have a whole series. And I have every CD. I still own all these CDs here in Hong Kong. We brought it from the States. And the series was titled "Touching the Father's Heart." And they had received a revelation of worship where, to be honest, a lot of the worship at that time, there were hymns, you know, kind of old school, powerful, but old school. And they basically, if you really look at the words, they talked about God. And then you had Maranatha, and it was the same thing. They kind of talked about God. But now The Vineyard came on the scene, and they would just sing the simplest songs, But it was songs to God. Like one of the songs actually written by John Wimber. He used to be the music professor for the Righteous Brothers. Unchained Melody, all these things. So he had a music background. And one of my favorite songs, and it was just so simple, it was just called Beautiful. And they would just sing, Beautiful, isn't he? Isn't he beautiful? You are. And that's all. And it was just like these love songs, just like as if it's you and God. And there was this portal. And you just express your heart. It was really the whole idea of touching the Father's heart. And it just moved on me in such a powerful way. And I would say it really helped me to understand what worship is. But it's very much in the same thing. He says that he inhabits. I mean, think about it. Like you want God to come down. Like you want God to be involved in your life. You want God to move upon us. What does he say? He says he inhabits, he lives within the praises of his people. You want to invite God into your home? Start worshiping the Lord in your home. You want to invite God into your workplace? Start worshiping the Lord in your workplace. You want God to inhabit that taxi driver, who's like rude and going crazy? You want the presence of the Lord to inhabit that taxi? Start worshiping the Lord. He inhabits, he lives within the praises of his people, is the way it's expressed. And so praise, the praise of the upright is beautiful. That's the way Lord sees this. And so give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Now, I want to just pause for a moment because, for many of us who can't sing, this is a very intimidating verse. You know what I mean? Like, I already can't sing normal songs. So Lord, you want me to sing you a new song? Please, come on, cut me a break here. That's not really what this text is actually saying. And so it's not talking about, like, he wants you to create a new song. Right, the idea that David is laying out that every song that we sing, even a song that we have sang 2 million times, there should be in this essence a fresh awareness of God's grace. So it's not just, I sang that song before. It's not just like, I'm familiar with these words. But every song that we sing should incorporate this fresh awareness, like a fresh revelation of the goodness and the grace of God. Now, it could mean also a new song, okay? So, for people that are creative, you can take that to the bank, and that would not be hermeneutically incorrect. But if you really look at it, though, the way that the it's structured and things, it most likely means this idea that every song is new because it entails a fresh awareness of God's grace and of God's goodness. And you've had that, right? You sing a song, and maybe you're familiar with this song, but then you're going through something, and then you sing the lyrics of that song, and there's just something fresh that comes over you, and there's something that really begins to move your heart, even though it's a familiar chorus. I think that's part of that. That's in essence what you're doing. You're singing to him a new song in that way. And so for all of us untalented people, say amen, right? That's good news for us. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. And why? For verse 4, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. And so you have, again, this Jewish interplay of word and work. And you'll notice that throughout the writings, particularly the Old Testament and through the rabbis and the scholars, that they very, very hardly divorce the word and the work. They all go together in that way. We as modern Christians, we divorce those two things a lot. We just think, if I just think this way or whatnot, and we don't associate what we do with our hands and our feet and all these things, that they're all working together. And so it's comprehensive. A disciple is careful with his words, A disciple is also careful with his work. You know, what you think and what you do is connected to one another. This is why sin is wrong. This is why, you know, it's sin, right? So we think, you know, like do not covet. We have this idea, but yet we go and covet, you know, or do not lie, and then we go and lie in these things. Because there's a divorce from our thinking, our word in this way, and our work. And so this is why we praise the Lord, because he is consistent. His word, right, is upright, and his work is done in faithfulness. So the rest of the psalm is really why we should worship the Lord. And so why should we worship the Lord? Because he loves righteousness and justice. Verse 5. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. This is the Hebrew concept of hesed. His loving kindness, his grace. And so we worship him because he is a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. Continue on. Verse 6, next few verses. Why do we worship the Lord? Because the expression of the greatness of God is expressed in creation. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. So why should we worship the Lord? Because he's the creator of the earth. He deserves our praises. He's done all these things, land, water, so on and so forth. On verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So you notice the pattern. He gives kind of a summary statement. And this is why we should worship him. And it's kind of a response. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord, verse 10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Why should we should worship the Lord? Because the greatness of God is among the nations. And so he is over the peoples. Now, obviously, this is he gets now a little more fine, a little more broad to narrow, and he talks about the nation of Israel. But why should we worship him? Because he's the God of over all the people of the earth. And then we go to verse 13, and it says, the Lord looks from heaven, he sees the sons of men. Why should we worship the Lord? Because the greatness of God is expressed over the individual. So it's not just the greatness of God that's expressed over the nations, and then particularly the nation of Israel. The greatness of God is expressed over every single person. The Lord looks from heaven, and he sees the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them, all he understands all their works. This is, in other words, we worship the Lord because he is intricately involved in every single person. All right, this is the sovereignty of God. This is the wisdom, the work of God. He cares. And in the same way, if we go to the Beatitudes, you know, of the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us that he cares about the birds, you know, in the air, the lilies in the field, the minutest things. And he is intricately aware of what our birds, the flowers, all that they need, and he takes care of them. And so, you know, Jesus responds, you know, in a rabbinic tradition, he says, well, won't God take care of you? You know, if he takes care of the lilies of the field and the sparrows and all these things, why wouldn't God take care of you? That's classic rabbinical tradition. And so he continues on. And he says that he covers, he looks from heaven, and he knows everything that's happening to every individual on the earth. That makes him worthy of praise. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. What is he saying? He's saying that the victory comes from God. Right, kings win battles not because of their army, but because God allows them to. Warrior wins in a match, right? Because God gives him the strength. It's not their own strength. God is intricately involved in what's happening with man. 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, for his hesed, to deliver that, deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And so, what is our result, or what is the response of the people of God? This is what we should be doing, because he is worthy of all these things. What should we be doing? Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in thee. This is what we should be doing now. As a result of his greatness over the nations, his greatness expressed through creation, his greatness expressed through the care and loving kindness over every individual, his eyes are on all those who fear him. He's worthy of our praise. So, people of Israel, obviously this is written to them, right? But the people of the earth, this is what we should do. We should wait for the Lord. And it's not a passive waiting, right? It's a worshipful waiting on him because he is our help. He is our shield. He's the one who protects us, not our schemes, not our ideas, right? For our heart rejoices in him. Why? Because we trust in his holy name. It's because I trust you, I am calm and at ease. Because I trust you, I am calm and I'm at ease. I remember one time my daughter, she had a fever. And, it was very early on. This was Elise, when she was maybe 2 years old or something. And I remember I was in her room, and she had woken up because she had this fever. And then sometimes when the fever and we're giving Panadol and everything, but the fever goes up and down as the medicine. And then she started getting fever-induced convulsions. So you get the shakes. And so I remember I was right in front of her, and she started shaking, and she had never felt the shakes before. We had never seen it either. And she was in front of me, and I will never forget the look on her eyes of this incredible fear. I saw it, right? Just so much fear. And she just looked at this, she's like, I don't know what's going, I don't know what's going on. And she was crying, and she just said, Appa, as in Korean, daddy, and I was there, and I saw the fear, and I just grabbed her. I just put her in my arms, and I made sure she saw my face, and I prayed for her, and I just wanted to know that she was safe and she was secure. And as soon as I scooped her up, and I was praying for her, you could see her eyes just like calm. Trust me, as a first-time parent that both of us were, it was a scary episode. But you just kick in, all your paternal, maternal things just start kicking in. I just remember just grabbing her, just praying for her, and just the act of grabbing her and just drawing her close. I was looking at her face, and the fear just relaxed, it was such a simple thing. But I think I learned so much about God, in that time. I learned so much about how God works in our life. And I realized that, sometimes, we go through a lot of fear. There's a lot of unknowns out there. But God is always willing to come and just wrap his arms of strength around us. And so that's why we can rejoice in him, because he's there for us. Like, he's there, and we trust in him. We trust that he's going to take care of us. We trust that he's going to, whatever situation, that he's going to come to our defense, or he's going to open a door, or he's going to provide, or whatever things that we're going through. And we trust, we trust in his strength, and he will bring us close to his heart. And we can look into his eyes. And even though our eyes may be full of fear, we can look into the eyes of God that's relaxed, that's in control, right? That's not wavering left and right, that's steady and firm and full of loving kindness of the Hesed. So let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in thee. And that's our strength. Every one of us is our hope in the Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praises. He's worthy. He's worthy that we can touch his heart. And it's appropriate that we're going to have a time of worship. Who's? Oh, Sybil. Okay. Sybil's going to lead us in a song of worship. And so today, you know, I'm sure that you'll be familiar with the song that we sing, but let's sing to him a new song. Let's express to God the song of our heart with a fresh awareness, a new awareness, a fresh revelation of God's goodness and care. And whatever you're going through here in the sanctuary, or those that are listening online on Zoom, or those that will listen to the recording later on, let's sing to him a new song. Let's give God, let's talk to him about what's going on in our lives, and let God speak to us through the words of this song to encourage us. Let there be a fresh revelation, a fresh encounter with the greatness and the goodness and grace of God.
Sure.
Sybil, a beautiful song. You know, I spoke at a conference in the U.S. With Matt Redman, who wrote this song. And he was telling us this story. You know, there was a season where the people, a lot of kids would come out to their services. But, you know, they were like mosh pitting. It seemed very irreverent. And so they decided just to stop it, you know, like we're just gonna, you know, put away all our instruments and put everything away, and they just wanted to get back to kind of a purity. And it was in this time where they just put all the music aside, put all the instruments, because they recognized that people were just coming for a vibe. You know, it was cool during that time, you know, the music and everything. And in the midst of that time, God gave him the words of this song, and it was like bring the church back to that heart of worship. You know, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. We made it about us. We made it about our feelings. We made it about the drummer and the guitar player, you know, and the songs and the words. And it's just the beautiful chorus of that. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it, because it's all about you. Brothers and sisters, receive a fresh revelation of the goodness and the greatness of God. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about this church. It's not about anything else. It's all about Jesus. And I think this morning it's appropriate that we give Him the homage and the praise that He deserves. Because it's all about Him. It's not about your problems, right? It's not about your salvation. It's all about Jesus. And so no matter what we're going through, can we just toss those things to the side and say, Lord, those things are important. You care about those things. Lord, but today, my prayer meeting, my prayer time right now, it's all about you. It's not about my job. It's not about my ministry. It's not about my work. It's all about you. Forgive me, God, that I've made my faith about me and my feelings and my own desires. Lord, it's all about you. And as we pray this morning, let the Holy Spirit encourage you to go back to that heart of worship. It's all about Him. Let's pray together. Let's move into our corporate prayers, and let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer, going through chemotherapy, other surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for the word of healing and the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness and sickness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our prayer focus and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's lift up our beautiful city. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray that they would rule righteously. Let's pray against the wealth gap that's in our city. Let's pray for revival. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life over our city. Let's lift up all the churches all over, the international, the local, the ethnic churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering in this city. Let's pray for Sports Services International, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice. Let's pray for the Korean church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city before the Lord. Let's cover our staff. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit, the Lord, to really move upon us, that we would just really draw close to Him, that we'd be united together, we'd be loyal to each other, and the Lord would really use our team to really build this house. Let's cover our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and our barista. Let's just pray. I know that some things are on hold, but let's just pray that the teams would really be used by God to welcome and just really help our guests, our regular attenders and members to really feel welcome and loved when they step into this house. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for our leaders and our teams. Let's really ask God to use them, the musicians, the singers, our PowerPoint people, to really lead our church into touching the Father's heart. That's what we just want to touch His heart. Worship is about Him, not about us. Let's pray that our teams would have that same attitude and lead us in that same direction. And let's pray. Let's just continue to cover the pregnancies in this house, or Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Ealing, Jade, and others. Let's just really ask the Lord to move on our ladies, to touch the babies in the womb, that they would grow strong and healthy. Let's just cover these families. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for just the reminder again this morning, Lord, that it's all about you. Lord, we ought to worship you because you created us. You created the world around us, Lord. You care. God, you're righteous, Father God. You are just. You are worthy to be praised, God. And the praises of your people, Lord, are beautiful to your ears. God, we thank you that you govern the nations, God, that you govern every individual. Lord, you give us strength in battle, Father God. You protect us. You cover us, God. Lord, it's all you, Lord. And all we get to be a part of is to just praise you, God, to let you know how grateful and thankful that we are for who you are, Lord. And so I pray that our lips, God, would be full of the praises of the Lord, that our hands and our feet, God, would express that same praise with our action, Father. And we thank you, Lord. Help us to worship you, to touch your heart every moment of this day, Father God, and every day. We thank you, God. We love you so much, Lord. Just continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.